All right, let's open our Bibles tonight, 1 Corinthians. And we left off in the 9th chapter in the 24th verse. And this is some of the, I believe, to my heart, the most exciting portion of Scripture, some of the most exciting portion of Scripture that ties in so many things of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So wonderful that God is bringing this out. And you think again that He's getting the church in order as we've been studying through Corinthians. And, you know, so many things to lay aside. All of these weights, all of these cares of the world, all of these things that we're fighting, these brothers and sisters here at this church of Corinth. And now it's so wonderful because Paul is truly getting into the meat. He's ready to start feeding them the meat. And just to be able to taste and to partake again of this mystery, of this high calling, of this calling to the glorious bridal company. What a wonder. And I hope that we can enter into this by the grace of God that the Spirit would anoint. All right, now picking up here in the 24th verse, and I guess I'll go back just a little bit of this 9th chapter prior to, but we saw the fervent love of Paul in this 9th chapter. We saw up to this point that Paul so loved the Word of God, so fully gave to these people the Word of God, and made himself to be, as we read through the 19th verse through the 20th and 21st, he made himself free, and again, meaning that he made himself a servant unto all men. As to the Jew, he became as a Jew. As to them that were under the law, he became as them as the law. To them that are without the law, he was without the law. He so fervently loved them that he set aside anything of his own for the furtherance of the gospel. And brothers and sisters, this truly is, as we enter into this 24th verse, we're going to read about running a race and winning a prize. One of the most important things in our life and a key to running that race and winning that prize is brotherly love. It's the Philadelphia love. Now, we had that study, and I believe it was a glorious study in the book of Revelation. And we read about that church of Philadelphia. What a wonderful group of believers. Philadelphia means brotherly love. We saw that they were the ones that had a little strength, that had kept the faith. We saw that, these sweet brothers and sisters were kept from the hour of temptation. That kept from the hour of temptation means that they're going to be kept from that tribulation that's going to come upon this world. A tribulation is coming. There is a group of saints that will be taken prior to that, as we read, as you'll read throughout the whole Word of God. We'll even rejoice in that tonight. We saw that that group is made a pillar. We saw that that group is shown to everyone and made known that He has loved her. And they even bow down to worship her. This is the only church that talks about those things. And what does the Lord tell them? Hold that fast. Hold that fast, which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Now let's start running the race. Verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? But one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. What a mighty verse. Now, this race, this prize that it's talking about here, we kind of mentioned this on Sunday. Is it eternal life that it's talking about here? Is it getting into heaven? Is that the prize? It's a wonderful thing. But it's not a prize. You already have that if you're a child of God. Your citizenship is in heaven right now. It says in the Word of God that now are we the sons of God. We have to lay hold of that by His grace. Now are we the sons of God. Praise His name. And again, it tells us that we are seated together now with Him. As it says, in the heavenly places or in the heavens in Christ. You're seated with Him now. Heaven is assured. You are there. You are more there than truly you are here in a sense. Because that's your forever. So obviously we see this prize is not talking about getting into heaven. It's not just talking about salvation, even though that's a wonderful thing. It's a marvelous thing. But there's something more. This is the mystery that Paul is bringing out. Okay. So we see that this prize, brothers and sisters, is a special reward. And we see that it's a special reward to who? The winner of the race. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. That's 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we'll read, we'll go back and read verse 6 through 8. This is Brother Paul speaking. Praise God. For I am now ready to be offered. Isn't that a wonderful thing? My, oh my. He was ready. Praise God. And the time of my departure is at hand. It wasn't that these people were going to take his life. He knew that God was going to take him. He knew in his heart that he was ready, that I have fought a good fight, as it says here. I have finished my course. There's that course. There's that race course it's talking about. He was a finisher. He was a winner of that course. And how and why? Because I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown. Here's that prize again. There's the crown, the prize, the high calling of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Oh, and praise the Lord for this next part. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. And there's something about that love His appearing that's so important, brothers and sisters, because we're going to talk about in just a moment that there is a reason that you're running. You're not running as those that just run to run or beat the air or run in uncertainty. You're running for a purpose. You're running for a crown. You're running to win Christ by His grace. Hallelujah. All right, so we now know that the prize is to the finisher. And now we know that the prize, by the grace of God, is the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And we'll go ahead and go over there and read that verse as well, because we're going to go back to Philippians quite a bit here in the next few moments. So let's go to Philippians chapter 3. And let's rejoice in this. And in the 14th verse of chapter 3, it says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, we've been rejoicing in this verse as long back as I can remember, but especially as of late in these Bible studies. And the reason is because we know that this is Brother Paul speaking. We know that this is Brother Paul whom has been rejoicing in the Lord for so long now. He has been rejoicing in everything about God. But yet here in Philippians, he is encouraging himself in the Lord to press for this mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This was the man that God brought through the book of Romans, knowing that you're saved, knowing that you're always saved, knowing that nothing can separate us from the love of God, knowing that I am a son of God right now, knowing that I'm seated together with Him in the heavens right now. So what was he pressing for? What was this mark? It's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, most Christians don't see this. And I don't understand why, in a sense. It's not that you're better. It's not that I'm better. It's just that you want to see. He said, knock, ask, seek. You know what? You'll find it. He'll show it to you. It's there. It's so exciting. See, by the grace of God, you get a glimpse of this, you won't burn out. My goodness, the fervent love of God will take you on, and it'll take you higher, and it'll take you into more and more of His glory. This is what keeps you. This is what keeps that fervency of love growing and glowing in your life. So again, we see that this precious prize. Now, going on with this 24th verse, it says that you run that ye may obtain. Now, that word obtain makes me think of a word in the Word of God that means attain. If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Does anybody recall that verse? Go back to Philippians 3. I told you, keep your finger there. And in Philippians chapter 3, let's go to the 11th verse. It says there, now again, this is the Philadelphia saints that he's speaking to here. This is the Church of Philadelphia. If by any means in that 11th verse, that means any way, any possibility, whatever it takes, Lord, I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, a lot of times we'll just read through things. What does this resurrection of the dead mean? It means the out resurrection. It's the resurrection that it's talking about there that we just mentioned in Revelation chapter 3 verse 10 of those Philadelphia saints where it says, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation. He'll keep them from that tribulation that's coming upon the earth. He's going to prevent them from even going into that because they're going to be raptured. And the rapture that it's speaking of is the one that's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. And let's turn there. This is, by the grace of God, what we hope to attain to. This is what he was hoping and pressing towards this wondrous mark in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15. We'll start reading from 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive... Oh, isn't that wonderful? And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, it's endless in depth. I mean, it just is. I just have to kind of settle down in the Lord right now because I think of the word alive, brothers and sisters. That word alive is the same word by the grace of God, and we have to bring it up as the four beasts or the four living ones that we read about there in Revelation. Again, that's the bride of Christ, the ones that are seen in the midst of the throne, right there in the very presence of the throne, ruling and reigning jointly with Christ. There are other saints that you'll see that are what? That are holding the palms and waving them as servants. There are those seen standing before the throne. There are those around the throne. But the four living ones are the only ones that are seen in the very midst of the throne. That's the place God wants you to take. That's the offering today. It's just a marvelous thing. See, he's bringing this out to these people. And you could say, well, my goodness, in chapter 8... Did you hear? Did you see what these people were doing? The last are going to be first. It's not about what you did yesterday. It's not about the wickedness that was going on maybe last week. It's about the state of your heart right now. See, that's Jesus Christ. He wants you to come into that fellowship now, forgetting those things which are behind. Forget them. Put them away. Godly sorrow, Lord, I didn't need to go that way, but you know what? If it had to be that way to get me to today, praise be to God. Can we say that? Praise be to God? Huh? Amen? Amen. See, he knows the affliction. He's faithful to bring on the affliction. Praise the Lord. All right. So we know that as it's saying here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that they which are alive, those that are alive, quickened, like those four living ones, and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive. Not means just the ones that are living. Those are the ones that are alive like the four living creatures that are alive and in love with Jesus Christ. This is the first group that's going to go. The ones that are kept from the tribulation. The out resurrection. The resurrection from among the dead. And remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And we could go on and on about that. The Lord meets His saints in a lot of different places. But this is a special group that meets the Lord in the air. Isn't that wonderful? You've heard me say before, I want to go airborne. That's a little bit more special delivery than going, you know, third class. Going through the trucks. I just want to get there. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that's what He's offering us. That's what's there for us, brothers and sisters. You want something to rejoice in? Praise God. Just focus on what He's giving to us at this time. Now, think about that word obtain again. So we have obtained, that I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. How about this? That I may apprehend. Well, let's think of that word. Go back there to Philippians 3. Can you imagine all the stuff we're finding there? Just that one little section. Let's go. Philippians 3, let's go to verse 12. Now this is Brother Paul again saying here, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Now again, what is he speaking of? Now brothers and sisters, I know by the grace of God, most of us here tonight know that he is not speaking of salvation here. But how about building line upon line in your life? How about being ready to stand in defense of the gospel? How about ready to give every man an answer? What do you think of that? How about being so in love with my Lord, my husband-to-be, that I can stand in defense? If you love one another as a husband and wife, you do stand in defense of one another. You just do, because you love. Now, I know I don't need to defend the Lord, but you know what? By the grace of God, I'm standing in defense of the gospel. And that is my Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Praise His name. Know what we've been called to. So again, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Did Paul already attain salvation? Sure he did. Has he already attained heaven? Sure he has. So what hasn't he attained? The bride of Christ. But I follow after it. Oh, do I follow after it? Later on he tells me I press. Praise God. That I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. See, that apprehended of Christ Jesus, that's that hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Brothers and sisters, you've heard me say it before. Use that as my page mark. It's the ring. It's the engagement ring. He's given it to you. Cherish it. Hold it fast. Be excited about a wedding. He had apprehended Paul that way. He had said, Paul, I'm in love with you, son. My desire is toward you. Now, do you lovest thou me more than these? You're going to go? You're going to fully go after me? That's what Paul was talking about. That's what Paul wanted by the grace of God. He saw that there wasn't anything that was more important than winning Christ as bridegroom. Praise His name. All right. So now, finally, I come to the thought of this obtain as hold fast. And we spoke about that. And you'll find that in Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. And we'll go there briefly. That's Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. And again, this is the Philadelphia church. And he's telling them, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast. Don't get complacent. Don't neglect so great salvation. Don't draw back. Come on. That no man take thy crown. Isn't that wonderful? Oh my. This is such a wonderful study for me, brothers and sisters. We've talked about the word obtain. We talk about the word attain. We talk about the word apprehend. We talk about the word hold fast. And in this wonderful verse as well, too, I should say in Philippians there, chapter 3, verse 8, it says that I may win Christ. And the word win. Can you imagine? It's from the same word, katalambano. It's a Greek word, katalambano. It all means the same. To seize, to take hold, to lay hold, and to not let go of it. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? I hope that speaks to you. It's a mighty thing, brothers and sisters, to know how much we're loved. This is a God that pursues. He's a jealous God. He is. And He's pursuing you. I was speaking to a sweet sister about how I pursued my wife. Can you imagine? She did not like me when we met. She didn't like me for a long time. But by the grace of God, I pursued. I loved her. I knew there was something there. Now, how much more is your Lord in love with you? He knows there's something there. He's pursuing you. And He's not going to let up. He's just not. So you know what? Why don't you just succumb to it, huh? Let's just get it over with. I don't want to play hard to get with Jesus anymore. I just want to lay hold. Say, Lord, I love you. Thank you so much for what you're doing. Thank you, Jesus. So there he says, so run that you may obtain. And brothers and sisters, again in Philippians 3:8, what is the reward? What is the prize? To win Christ. That I may win Christ. Bridegroom. High calling. Oh my. That's what he's calling us to. You'll notice in this verse as well too, I think is very sweet here. It says that they which run in a race. Did you know that not all of God's people are even running? Most of God's people are just satisfied being heirs of God. I saw that sign at a church I went to not too long ago. It said, heirs of God. What a wonderful thing to be an heir of God. Marvelous thing to be an heir of God. But why stop there when the verse continues on and it says, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that ye suffer together with Him. But it didn't stop there. That ye may be glorified together. Isn't that going to be awesome? Now is it starting to get to you about, I'm going to stand her up here and make them know that I love you. I'm getting chills. I just am. I can't help it. I'm giving glory to Him and He's giving glory to me. And I'm going to make them come and bow down and worship before you. Oh my. But it says here, you see, that all don't even run. Some of God's people are just satisfied to be an heir. But then it goes on to say, well, but then they which run, they're running in this race. But yet it says, one receives the prize. So let's go on with that thought. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. This is verse 25. So this is speaking here that there's a discipline here. There's a moderation. Praise God. There's a diligence. Hebrews 11:6 says that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I hope, brothers, if you're getting ready to be married, that your wife-to-be, and ladies, same thing, that husband-to-be, would be diligently in love with you. Not ho-hum about it. You know, sometimes she shows up and she didn't have her engagement ring on. Brothers, how would that make you feel? Things that make you go, I'd be thinking real quick. I really would. I want her cherishing that. I want her carrying that around and saying, looky here. Not because of how big the rock is, but because I love that man. Praise God, see. That's what He's calling us to. So diligent. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. What Paul was referring to there is the Olympic athletes. That was going on at that time too. And it was a big thing at that time. Now we have it, you know, once ever so often. They were really into these athletic and strength events. And he was referring to those that would run for these. And they used to give them a crown. It was just a wreath. It was just branches, olive branches and different things that they would put together and put it on there. And they would give their whole life and train their whole life for that corruptible crown. But see, he's going to give you the one that's the everlasting crown of glory by His grace. And by the grace of God, you're seeing something here tonight, and He's telling you to hold it fast. We understand that's not salvation. No. Oh, no. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. I'm His child. I'm in Christ's hand, and that hand's in God's hand. And no man can pluck me out of His hand. Amen. Nobody. So I've got a crown. But that's a different thing. That's my wedding. That's my wedding crown. Now, am I going to hold it fast that no man take it? Praise God. And that's the life, brothers and sisters. That's the running to win Him. So again here, we see that it is a focus and a dedication that we run to obtain that crown. Now 26, it says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. We've got focus here. We've got purpose of why we're running. I don't go to church to get emotional. I don't just go to church to feel good. I'm going to church to, by the grace of God, build faith in my life. Isn't that wonderful? I know why I go to church. And then all of that emotion and all of that wonderful thinking of the Lord, that's just an add-on. But I come to grow in grace and knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when that's the focus, then I can't help but get emotional about it. I don't come for an hour to 2 hours of praise and worship just to build something up. I know it's already there. Isn't that precious? And I don't just get my praise and worship when I go to church. You know the neat thing is? I go home. Isn't that wonderful? Using that heavenly language just as I even walk around the house. Oh, if they could ever know that madman. Just madly in love with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, praise God, we're coming into things, aren't we? Isn't it a wonder? Praise His name. All right. So I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. So fight I. We're fighting the good fight of faith. Not as one that beateth the air. I know this is a work that's going on. I know that nothing's accidental that's happened in my life. I know that this isn't just good karma or bad karma or yin and yang and all of that stuff. Oh my. I know He perfects that which concerned me. I know that He's not withholding anything good from my life. I know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Because by His grace, I'm living the life that's called according to His purpose. This is the purpose. This is the ultimate of His purpose, is to win Him as bridegroom. All right. So we see that there is this mark of for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We know that there is a plan of God. The plan of God is for us to be fellow heirs. You'll read that in Ephesians 3:6. That was the mystery that Paul brought out. From the sons of men. It was a mystery. It was hidden from Moses. It was hidden from Jacob. It was hidden from Ruth. It was hidden from Esther. It was hidden from Abraham. It was hidden from the sons of men. Read Ephesians chapter 3 for yourself if you don't believe me. Go search these things to see that they're so. What a wonderful thing. It was hidden from them. But Paul, it was revealed. Isn't that precious? Oh, hallelujah. See, people want to know the Old Testament. No. Paul's epistles, and you'll see that Old Testament just open up like you can't even imagine. Oh, that's what all that means. You'll start reading the Bride of Christ in every single page. It'll be amazing. Oh, God, You were writing about me back then. You were writing about me by the grace of God there. And there, and there, and there. When you're really in love, you can't get it off your heart, can you? I mean, when you're really smitten, could you ever get her off of your mind? Couldn't, could you, brother? Still can't. All right. He's got to go home tonight. No, I know he's in love. Amen. But that's how it is. And see, that's how the Lord is with us. In the ages past, He was there with His Father. And this was the plan. As God made that, He said, man, I understand, for my son, it's not good for a man to be alone. Right there. He was expressing it. My son wasn't going to be alone. He's going to have a bride. See, if Jesus tarry, I love my sons. I'd like to shellac them and just keep them right where they're at. But I know if Jesus tarry, it's not going to be good for them to be alone. And I want them to have a godly mate. Somebody that can be a co-laborer with them. An equal, truly. That can rejoice in the things of life that they rejoice in. That they can grow in the things of life that they can grow in. God didn't give us that for an accident. That's what He's looking for in a bride. She's going to be like Him. Isn't that funny how these couples, when they kind of grow older together, not only are they like each other, they start to look like each other, don't they, sometimes? Isn't that funny? Huh? But He told you, in the same image. Didn't He say in the same image? You looking like Jesus? Oh, my. All kind of comes together in a lot of different ways for us, doesn't it? Praise God. 27th verse. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Now, this really ties into me in so many ways with Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, where it says, laying aside every weight. I need to tend unto the things of the Lord, as we've already read here in Corinthians, without distraction. We've got to find out what's important here. There's going to be a lot of ways and things that come at us. The enemy is trying to waylay us on this course. He is. He's trying to get anything that he can do to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He knows he can't keep a child of God out of heaven. But he sure wants to stop you from winning God's best. And he's going to throw a lot of things your way. Because Christ's allowing him. Christ is testing you. He is. There's a proving going on. There is. Of our love for him. And it's true. Absolutely. And he said, we are going to have this test. And we are going to have these trials. And he's going to go into the most sensitive things in our life, the most delicate things. Because he's searching. This is God who's searching this. The true worshiper that's going to worship me in spirit and in truth. And that's his son. And I'm telling you, if I was looking for wives for my boys, I'd be very picky. Yep, I would. I'd feel sorry for them too, but I'd be very picky. How much more God? How much more God? All right. So, he goes on to say, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, don't let this confuse you in any way. This is just, Lord, help me keep my heavenly perspective. And if you have a Scofield Bible, I really do appreciate what Brother Scofield says here. This word, castaway, in the Greek means disapproved. So he says, you know, Lord, that myself should be a castaway, a disapproved, that I'm not living the crown testimony. There's a crown testimony that Paul was called to live. And I love what Brother Scofield says here at the end of his note one, if you have that there at the bottom of your Bible. It says, the apostle is writing of service, not of salvation. He is not expressing fear that he may fail of salvation, but of his crown. Now, I'm rejoicing for that brother. I hope he really saw some things. I know some of the things that he says in his commentary are a little off, but for the most part, this sweet brother got so much out of it. But that's one of the greatest statements he makes in any of his commentary. He wasn't fearful of salvation. He was concerned about the crown. Isn't that precious that brother saw that? More precious that you're seeing that. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. So that's what he's talking about there, the crown testimony. He knew that he needed to meet every condition that God was putting forth before him. Stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That's Colossians 4:12. Ephesians 4:1 says that we would walk worthy. That we would walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. That's Ephesians 4:1. I'll break that down just a little bit more for you. That we would walk worthy of the vocation. The vocation, if you go look up that in the Greek, it means the calling. But even more than the calling, it's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The same thing that we've been reading about that Paul was pressing of the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's the same word. It's the same high calling. And Christ Jesus is calling us to walk worthy of it. It's there for you. You see it. By the grace of God, you're in a meeting. You've been counted worthy to hear this. God doesn't just willy-nilly cast his pearl around. Now seize it. Lay hold of it. Let him work this in your life. Praise God. What a wonder that chapter 9 is. All right, let's go on to chapter 10. Now, This, in these first five verses, is speaking of the oneness in Christ. And he's really taking us on in this thought of the bride of Christ. It's so wonderful. I think it'll continue to unfold for us as we go on. It's getting very exciting here. Verse 1 of chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. That means I want you to be aware here of what I'm going to tell you. How that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. But, with many, or the most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, what a precious thing that there's this great oneness in Christ, that God loved these people and He brought them out. And we're worthy to know this. And God is, again, as we study this New Testament, and especially Paul's epistles, he's taking the veil off that Old Testament, and we're seeing into the true Christianity of what God was meaning back then. If you go back to verse 1, that cloud, that was the Shekinah glory. That was the presence of God. That was the angel of His presence. And you'll find out in Exodus 23, the angel of His presence. That was the cloud by night, the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And you'll find that the angel of His presence was not just an angel, it was Jesus Christ Himself. And He was always there. And praise God. And they all benefited from Him. Praise the Lord. And then in verse 2, as we are all baptized, we're baptized unto Christ. Isn't that wonderful? We identify with Christ. When we become saved, we get back here. We had a wonderful baptism not too long ago in the tank here. And what we're doing is we're identifying publicly our faith. That we have died and now we have risen again. We have that new life. We have everlasting life with Jesus Christ. So as we're identifying here in this day with Christ, they identified with Moses in a sense as the Christ type. And they were baptized in the cloud and in the sea. It was that keeping. It was that safe keeping that God, through His Son, kept them all the time. Verse 3, and they did all eat the same spiritual meat. Again, that's speaking of the manna, the Word of God. It was for all of them. It was there for all of them to feast upon. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them. I've never seen a rock that moved except Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? See, it was Him all the time. They were just looking for Him to come as we look back that He came. Isn't that wonderful? It's the same thing. A lot of people try to make it complicated. They were still saved by the blood. That sacrifice came out right away. Cain and Abel, they were talking about it right then. It was right in their face. It had to be the blood. You know God spoke to them. They weren't doing that for any reason except they had to acknowledge that the Savior was going to come. Praise the Lord. So the rock followed them. And that rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. So there was this great oneness in Christ that was going on. But now, unfortunately, there's a departure. Something happened. Something was going on at that time that there was this great departure. And it was such a great departure, brothers and sisters, that if you know the story of when they wandered in the wilderness, there were only two besides all the children that were 19 years old and under that went into the promised land. Did you know Moses didn't go into the promised land? Oh, no. It was just Joshua and Caleb. And then the ones that were 19 and younger. All the other ones, they perished in the wilderness. They weren't allowed to go in. Now that speaks of so many things. But after we just got through, run that ye may obtain. There's a purpose. There was a difference with the heart of Joshua and Caleb than anybody that was there. They saw something. They went without the camp. They were the worshiper that worshiped in spirit and in truth. Think of all these examples. Think of Adam and Eve, obviously. There he was. God knew. And after he had just said it wasn't good for man to be alone. Well, he obviously, in a sense, on the surface was talking about Adam. He knew that she needed a bride. He needed a bride, and that was going to be this Eve. But more so, on a greater level, what he's speaking about is the same thing in this prize, is that God knew that Jesus Christ, his Son, needed a bride. And that body of Adam represented all the bodies of the body of the believers, all of the believers that would ever be. And there's a sleep going on. Now we're back right into 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the sleep that's on God's people today. You don't hear this message. And it's not because I'm so smart, because I'm really not. You found that out. You've been here long enough. But it is because the Word of God said, not many mighty, not many wise. They're not going to want this thing. There's going to be a form of godliness, but they're going to deny the power thereof. We're having a national prayer day. I guess it's tomorrow. Somebody told me today. That's how disconnected I am with days and all of these different things. I praise God that we're acknowledging something, in a sense. But what are they acknowledging? It's a form of godliness. You're going to go pray to a tree, a building, your dog. I don't know what it may be. There's a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. That's the end time. The power that they deny is Jesus Christ. And we know that. It's very clear. It's going on today. So there was that sleep that was on Adam. And out from Adam, he didn't take Adam's whole body to make a bride. He just took a rib portion, tiny little rib, the closest thing to the heart, and formed that wonderful, pleasing bride for Adam. And that's what's going on today. There's a sleep upon the church. And he's going to take out from them a people for his name's sake. Isn't that wonderful? People that are going to be, that are so in love with Jesus Christ, that are going to be his bride. And just like these two brothers, they were so different, they were the ones that entered in. The four living ones, that's a really small group. The innumerable multitude, there wasn't, it's no doubt why they called them innumerable. There's a lot of Christians. Praise God there's a lot of Christians. It's wonderful that there's a lot of Christians. But what's God offering you? What's He offering to every Christian right now? The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing? And yet we think sometimes there's something more important. I got to get my next house. I got to get my next car. I got to get my next job. Let the Lord take care of that. Just love on Him. He'll put you in the path that you need to be in. He'll put you in the place that you need to be. He will do it. Let's move along, because I'd like to get through some of this here tonight. All right. So again, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And why were they overthrown? Because of their lack of faith. And here's the things that come of their lack of faith in verse 6. Now, these things were our examples. So we need to pay attention to this. God always gives us examples. We don't need to just go through life and experience everything ourselves. Let's pay attention to what these brothers and sisters went through, and it might prevent us from some things that would be unpleasant in our life. So it says, to the intent we should not lust after evil things. Well, that's pretty obvious. I think we're Christians, but why is it that we're so attracted to evil things? Fighting the good fight of faith, aren't we? Praise God. And we all have different weaknesses. As they also lusted. Now, James 1:15, and we'll turn there about this lust. That's James chapter 1, verse 15. Come on, brother. Had it marked. And there it is. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So what had happened here is the lust had conceived, and it brought about sin for all those people that were in the wilderness. And it brought about that death. That's why they couldn't go in. Because that's what lust and all of that, when it just bloomed in their life, basically took over their life, it defeated them from going on into the very promise or the promised land of God. And you'll notice that there's going to be four examples here that we're going to touch on very quickly of this lack of faith. The first one is idolatry. The second one is fornication. Third one is tempting God. And the fourth one is murmuring or complaining. It's just a complete downward exit from God's will in our life. And the first one here is the idol. Neither be ye idolaters. An idol is anything that gets before God. Anything that comes before worshiping Him. And eventually what happens is no thought of God comes in. See, again, we already spoken of the true worshiper worships Him in spirit and in truth. But it says here, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. They didn't seek down to worship Him in spirit and truth. They were just about feeding their own lusts. And that's what happened. That's what they went after. I'm going to give you just these verses. We won't turn to there, but you can look them up yourself. This was very evident in Exodus 32 when Moses was coming down off the mount. And there those Israelites, Moses had been gone a little longer than they thought. And what did they do? They took off all their jewelry. They took off all of their stuff. They put it together. They gave it to Aaron and they said, hey, let's make us a calf. And a golden calf at that, and we'll worship it. And you know what God did? He killed 3,000 that day. He said that wasn't a good thing to do. Do you not get it? Do you got to understand this? It's not in the calf. And I know we think here, it was that calf. I mean, how could they be worshiping a calf? How could you be worshiping your bank account? How could you be worshiping your car? Or your friends? Or any of these things that we worship. An idol is anything that comes between us and the Lord. Anything. All right. Verse 8. Neither let us fornication. As you see where it said the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. That word play means sexual defiance. So again, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 3,000. So see, the Lord didn't like that either. You'll read about that in Exodus 25. It says there in Exodus 25 that 24,000 died. Well, 24,000 eventually died. 23,000 died that same day. I'm sure 1,000 of them lingered on and died maybe a week later. I don't know. But, you know, there's a consequence here. There are. And the biggest consequence that we're talking about is not that God is waiting for us to fail. It's just, I don't want to miss the coming of the Lord. That's the consequence. I don't want to miss the promises of God. He loves me. He'll never forsake me. Even when I don't abide faithful, He abides faithful still. He's there all the time. But He's calling us into a communion as husband and wife. He wants us to enjoin into that wonderful relationship with Him. And in Corinth at this time, there was a temple called the Aphrodite Temple. In their temple, did you know they had 1,000 prostitutes in there? That's where you went to pray. Okay, enough said there. You get the visual. All right. Verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted were destroyed of serpents. And you'll find that tempting, and we'll read that here briefly. That's Exodus chapter 17. The Word of God's just exciting, and all of these wonderful stories as they come to life. And this is Exodus chapter 17, verse 2 and 7. See, when you turn to Genesis chapter 17, it just doesn't say the same thing. All right. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses. That means they're arguing with him. And said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said to them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? He didn't bring you out here to kill you. He just made all of that seafloor dry. He just rolled it back. He just destroyed all of those Egyptians. He's done all of these mighty things. And all you low down scamps can do is complain. We'll go on over to the sixth verse. It says, behold, I will stand before thee. This is the Lord there upon the rock of Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come out water of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did that in the sight of the elders of Israel. So here comes the water right out of the rock. Isn't that wonderful? And he called the name of the place Massa and Meribah, which means temptation and strife, because of the chiding of the children of Israel. Because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? You want to tempt the Lord? Just get into the land of unbelief. Don't trust Him. Don't tempt the Lord that way. Believe Him. He's got a purpose in what He's doing in your life. Trust Him for that. You'll read in Numbers 21, 5 and 6 as well too, with the serpents that He sends on them. All right, verse 10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. You'll find that in Numbers chapter 14. Let's see. Yes, that's Numbers chapter 14, verse 2. Let's read that over there briefly here. It says, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Did you see that? All of them. There wasn't one that didn't. All of them murmured against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness? My, oh my. After the manna, after the water from the rock, after all of these things, this is all these people had to say. Romans 1, it always brings me back to that. They fell away from God for a couple reasons. They didn't give glory to God, neither were they thankful. If you're in this place in your life tonight that you're not thankful for what God's doing, I'm telling you, you don't realize where you could go. You don't realize how far away from God you will go. Sin begets sin. And this murmuring and complaining is a horrible thing. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Great gain. Though He slay me, will I trust Him? Oh my. What we can complain about. 24th verse of that 14th chapter said, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him. See, he had a different spirit. Joshua had a different spirit. You know what the spirit they had? Faith. They had faith. God said it and it was so. They weren't looking at all the problems. They weren't looking at the giants in the land. They said, God said that it was ours. They're just figments of my imagination. You heard me say that about, I love that about Barry Sanders when he said that guy was, the reporter was talking to him, you know, because Barry Sanders is a very slight of a man. 5'6", 5'7". Great running back. Probably the greatest ever played. And I remember that man saying to him, he says, well, man, when they hand you that ball and you're running through the line, I mean, those linebackers are so big and the free safeties and all of them, aren't you just looking at them and, you know, kind of fearful of them? He says, man, if I'm looking at them, I'm never going to get to that goal line that I'm looking at. And all those guys said he was like chasing a shadow. Yeah. It's about us. What a cloud of witness. Praise God, and He does love the Lord. All right. We'll close it out now. Now all these things in verse 11 happened to them for in samples, meaning pay attention to this. These are examples for you. These are types. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. It's almost here. Take heed to this. The plan is almost going to be wrapped up. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Tell you what, as I go through this life, I find more and more Christians that truly have seen this, in a sense, been presented, this depth of the Word. Oh, I know that bridal stuff. I don't need to go to church. I already know that. I've heard that. I've got it. Oh, that's a wrong spirit. You know that's a wrong spirit. Somebody saying something like that. Oh, honey, you know I love you. I'll be back in a year. You've heard me say, well, here, I'll save you the time and here's the attorney's phone number, you know, or something. You know, it doesn't work that way. There's a joy. But so he that Take heed. That's the humility we talked about on Sunday. Depend on the Lord. Peter, remember him? Oh, he said, oh Lord, I'm not going to forsake you. No way, I'm going to stand right here. I was reading that story again today. Wasn't that wonderful? Before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. And you have to remember that story. Did you know he said, today you're going to do that. Not like in a week. Not in a month or a year you're going to deny me. You're saying this right now, and I'm before you right now, and there's all of this joy, and everybody's happy and euphoric and all of this and everything, and you love me, and you know that. But by the way, Peter, today you're going to deny me. Not once, but three times. The same day. Take heed. Take heed. Laodicea, they got increased with riches and goods and all that, and they said, oh man, we're finding ourselves. Galatians 5:4, it says, oh, we can fall from grace when we get caught into our self-righteousness. I want to close this out with 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 16 and 18. I appreciate your patience, but I do believe the Lord wanted us to get through this evening. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. As also in all his epistles, this is Peter speaking of Paul, speaking in some of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. It's a mystery. You got to get into this line upon line. That's what we're doing in a Bible study. That's why Sundays are wonderful. I love Sundays. Don't get me wrong. I really do. But I love this time. I love getting in and rightfully dividing the word of truth. Not that we're not doing it on Sundays, but this is the time that we're really building these things. These Bible studies, they mean so much to everything in our life. In which some of these things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned. Here's why they're hard to be understood. Because the ones that are unlearned and unstable, they wrestle with this stuff. And they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. It's like what we were just talking about. When God says it, believe it. Amen. Don't try to analyze it up here. It's never going to work. This is a foolish instrument. I need to believe. That's what faith is. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, you know this stuff. Beware, though, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. See, when you're trying to stand in yourself and stand in your own might, and I'm telling you, and I don't know why it's just on my heart right now, the ones that I've heard so many times said, well, I don't need to go to church that much. I've already got it. Don't go there. It's not that you're dependent upon church. It's just that you're in love with Jesus. You're in love with His Word. And He said, the more as you see the day approaching. That means getting together with the people of the Lord. And what a benefit that we have people of like faith. And I mean fervent faith and fervent love that are going after the deep things of God. And what does it say there? But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. So that last verse, verse 13, that's where we'll stop tonight. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way. And actually, it's better put the way. It's not a way. It's translated the way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So we're going to talk more about that verse next week. But the Lord just put it on my heart to encourage each and every one of us that the way is there. Because He's always there. He's the manna. He's the rock. He's the cloud. He's the pillar of fire. And by the grace of God, I hope He's singing to us, I want to be your bridegroom. I want to be your bridegroom. Let's stand and be dismissed.